Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I'm going to read two verses this morning, and we'll start chanting text number 80, and then we'll go to 81.
Maitreya Uvacha,
Maitreya Uvacha,
Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan,
Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan,
Narada Hamsayor Gatim,
Narada Hamsayor Gatim,
Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya,
Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya,
Siddha Lokam Tato Gamat,
Siddha Lokam Tato Gamat,
Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan,
Bhagavata Mukhyo Bhagavan,
Narada Hamsayor Gatim,
Narada Hamsayor Gatim,
Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya,
Pradarsha Yamum Amantriya,
Siddha Lokam Tato Gamat, Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya said.
Maitreya said.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Of the devotees.
Of the devotees.
Mukhyaha.
Mukhyaha.
The chief.
Chief.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The most powerful.
The most powerful.
Narada.
Narada.
Narada Muni.
Narada Muni.
Hamsayoh.
Hamsayoh.
Of the living entity and the Lord.
Of the living entity and the Lord.
Gatim.
Gatim.
Constitutional position.
Constitutional position.
Pradarsha.
Pradarsha.
Having shown.
Having shown.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Amum.
Amum.
He, the king.
He, the king.
Amantriya.
Amantriya.
After inviting.
After inviting.
Siddhalokam.
Siddhalokam.
To Siddhaloka.
To Siddhaloka.
Tathaha.
Tathaha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Agamat.
Agamat.
Departed.
Departed.
Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued. The supreme devotee, the great Saint Narada, thus explained to King Prachinibhari the constitutional position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. After giving an invitation to the king, Narada Muni left to return to Siddhaloka. Purport. Siddhaloka and Brahmaloka are both within the same planetary system. Brahmaloka is understood to be the highest planet within this universe. Siddhaloka is considered to be one of the satellites of Siddhaloka, of Brahmaloka. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka have all the powers of yogic mysticism. From this verse, it appears that the great sage Narada is an inhabitant of Siddhaloka, although he travels to all the planetary systems. All the residents of Siddhaloka are spacemen, and they can travel in space without mechanical help. The residents of Siddhaloka can go from one planet to another individually by virtue of their yogic perfection. After giving instructions to the great King Prachinibhari, Narada Muni departed and also invited him to Siddhaloka. Going to discuss the next verse too. Text 81. In the presence of his ministers, the saintly king Prachinibhari left orders for his sons to protect the citizens. He then left home and went off to undergo austerities in a holy place known as Kapilashrama. Purport. The word Praja Sarga, word for word, it's the mass of citizens, is very important in this verse.
when the saintly King Prachinipari was induced by the great sage Narada to leave home and take to the devotional service of the Lord, his sons had not yet returned from their austerities in the water. However, he did not wait for their return, but simply left messages to the effect that his sons were to protect the mass of citizens. According to Veera Raghava Acharya, such protection means organizing the citizens into the specific divisions of four varnas and four ashramas. It was the responsibility of the royal order to see that the citizens were following the regular principles of the four varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and the ashramas, namely Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. It is very difficult to rule citizens in a kingdom without organizing this varnashram dharma. To rule the mass of citizens in a state and keep them in complete progressive order is not possible simply by passing laws every year in a legislative assembly. The varnashram dharma is essential in a good government. One class of men, the brahmanas, must be intelligent and brahminically qualified. Another class must be trained in administrative work, kshatriya. Another in mercantile business, vaishya. And another simply in labor, shudra. These four classes of men are already there, according to nature. But it is the government's duty to see that all four of these classes follow the principles of their varnas methodically. This is called abhirakshana, which is in the verse, abhirakshana, which means protection. Paragraph. It is significant that when Maharaj Prachinibhari was convinced of the goal of life through the instructions of Narada, he did not wait even a moment to see his sons return, but he left immediately. There were many things to be done upon the return of his sons, but he simply left them a message. He knew what his prime duty was. He simply left instructions for his sons and went off for the purpose of spiritual advancement. This is the system of Vedic civilization. And in the final paragraph, it says where Kapilashram is. Sridhar Swami informs us that Kapilashram is located at the confluence of the Ganges and the Bay of Bengal, a place now known now as Ganga Sagara. This place is still famous as a place of pilgrimage, and many millions of people gather there every year on the day of Makar Sankranti and take bath. It is called Kapilashrama because of Lord Kapila's living there to perform his austerities and penances. Lord Kapila propounded the Sankhya system of philosophy. So the verse for this morning, the one we chanted, speaks of Siddhaloka, and the purport is focused on what, where that is, and what that is, and the people that reside there, what do they do? Siddhaloka is a satellite, like a satellite of Brahmaloka, and Brahmaloka is the topmost. 14 planetary systems, top is Brahmaloka, Siddhaloka is in that same planetary region. And the inhabitants have all mystic powers, they can travel anywhere, as Narada can travel anywhere. doesn't say whether the Siddhalokas can do what Narada does, because Narada goes to the spiritual world. He goes to anywhere in the material or spiritual realm. He has a spiritual body. He's a perfected soul. He's more than a siddha in Siddhaloka. It is commonly understood that Narada is a resident of Vaikuntha, or at least his mood is like the residence of Vaikuntha. He is a perfected soul, and he has a relationship with the Supreme Lord, and his relationship is like the residence of Vaikuntha towards Narayana. Now there's a place in Brihat Bhagavatamrita where Gopal Kumar goes to one of the planetary regions that's below Brahmaloka, Tapaloka, and it's where ascetics, renunciates reside, and they're engaged in meditation. Then later, Gopal Kumar sees the four Kumaras in Vaikuntha. And he asks them, well, wait a minute, I saw you in Siddhaloka, in Tapaloka, now I'm seeing you here. And the commentary indicates that they were just giving association in Tapaloka. They had just paid a visit. And the residents of Tapa, their association is to carry, through their association, the residents of Tapaloka to a higher position of consciousness beyond just meditation. I mean, it's not just meditation, like it's insignificant. Their meditation upon the personality of Godhead is they're seeing him in their heart and in trance, and they're ecstatic seeing him, so much so that they just stay in trance for a long time. There's this interesting discussion when Gopal Kumar is visiting that place, Tapaloka, and the residents kind of get on Gopal Kumar's case, saying, why are you looking for Madan Gopal? We see him all the time. And then they have this nice argument that says, before you see an object, the form of the object appears in the mind. So you want to see Madan Gopal, but you, before even seeing him, he appears in your mind. And just stay here with us for a while. And so he agrees, and he sees Madan Gopal within his mind. But then he reaches this understanding, it's not the same. And later on, when Narada meets Gopal Kumar and says, congratulations, you didn't buy it. I mean, you entertained the idea because it sounded attractive, but bhakti is above dhyan. And then said, I'll explain to you. You know, you didn't understand the philosophy, you just intuitively wanted to keep going. Here's the distinction. Long discussion about how bhakti is superior than just meditation. And in that meditation, even seeing the form of the Lord within. Now for us as devotees, it's not a big deal because we're not being introduced to meditation anyway. But we do encounter people that are introduced to meditation anyway, and it's helpful so that we can not, like, you know, hit them with a stick of philosophy, that what Narada says, but so we can be clear. And, you know, for persons that want to reach the goal of life, we can introduce them to the additional elements that bhakti has, that
meditation alone doesn't include, without listing them all. So it's back to the purport and verse. It's also correct to say that it's commonly said that Narada is a resident of Vaikuntha. He's a Vaikuntha Vasi. And he goes here and there. Siddhaloka may be, you know, one of his many places, or maybe his principal place in this world. He goes and then returns and goes and returns. But he goes to the spiritual world too. And his mood, at least, is the mood of Vaikuntha Vasis. He has appreciation for Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But that's his position, his mood. Then the next verse is where King Prachinibari, all of a sudden, he's being characterized in a very different way. The saintly King Prachinibari was previously kind of differently characterized as the attached King Prachinibari, attached to Karmakanda rituals. And that's why Narada came. He came specifically to the palace of King Prachinibari to elevate him above that attachment. It's a nice description that Narada was considering all the kings in the line of Uttanapada from Swayambhuva Manu and down and down and down. All of them became pure devotees. So why not? I should try to help King Prachinibari also come to that standard. So he visited him. Now he's being identified as a saintly King Prachinibari, which is not at all inaccurate, because, my goodness, although it was a whole long session sitting with Narada Muni, he got it. He no yabats from him. He just, you know, got it. He had questions. Please explain this elaborate metaphor that you've been giving. But he got it. Not so dissimilar. It took less time, but not so dissimilar from the sons of Daksha, the Hariyashvas and Savalashvas, when Narada met them. It was piece of cake. They weren't attached at all. They were highly qualified persons. Narada spoke a riddle, asked them if they could understand the riddle. They explained the riddle perfectly. Okay, you're qualified. Your consciousness is not clouded by material attachment. Come on over to my ashram. You don't need this karmakanda thing and, you know, all the entanglement to material existence, because the higher purpose, is not only just fulfillment of material desires. Even Daksha argues, reasons with Narada that the purpose of these things is to help people become detached. They learn the principle of detachment by regulating their attachments. It's a very important understanding of those who are involved in worldly life. Regulated worldly life. The purpose is not fulfillment of desires. The purpose is to regulate and to elevate beyond the material desires. Very important point. Like Prabhupada would give this argument about sex life in marriage. The purpose of it is not a license for sex life. Oh, I got a license. I have a liquor license. Now I can indulge in liquor. It's to regulate, because it's actually best to do without it. But persons who can't do without it, then the government may regulate. So in Prabhupada would make that example to explain, marriage isn't a license for indulgence in sex. It's to regulate according to codes. And, you know, like, okay, regulate according to codes, we'll make our own codes. That goes on. So,
some of the persons in this room don't know about those things, but some do. It goes on. And it's, you know, it's not the purpose of the ashram. And similarly, it's not the purpose of Karmakanda. The purpose of Karmakanda rituals is to go beyond. Daksha argues, saying, you know, you've deprived my sons of the opportunity of becoming regulated by engaging in family life, and all the sacrifices that are meant for purifying oneself due to that contact with matter, and then gradually coming to the position of detachment. You've deprived them of that, so you're an offender in the garb of a renunciate. You're an offender. Narada had already understood. They're beyond that already. They don't require that. In this case, this is a king. He has fantastic sons. King Pachinivari has the Prachetas as his sons. And while the Prachetas were engaged in meditation under the guidance of Lord Shiva, and while within the ocean meditating upon Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu came while they were still in the ocean, underwater, doing their meditation on Vishnu. And he came. It's so much bhakti they had, but he came. While they're still underwater, King Pachinibhari is ready to at once, emphasis multiple times, no delay, at once, as soon as one understands what is to be done, no delay. I'm sure you've heard the description, Prabhupada speaking about how he wasted time. He heard from Bhaktisiddhanta, and I was foolishly attached, so I didn't act on what he said right away. I was a householder, I had children, I had occupation, I was still in college. So he lived for some years, good number of years, before he actually acted. So he berates himself that I delayed. And, you know, at least from our perspective of Prabhupada's life, he can say like that, but he was fully under Krishna's direction, and he came at just the perfect time. I mean, orchestrated by the grand orchestrator, Krishna. He came at a time in America's history when it was just right. He came at a time when the tourist visa that Prabhupada came on was just after World War II, when the whole Europe and America were like, we don't want anybody coming to our country because who knows what's going to happen. But that, for the first time, they were allowing tourism. Because I go to China, I can share this because I know it directly. There was a time, just until last year, where there was, cat and mouse going on between China and America. But they realized, hey, it's of economic interest for both parties. So instead of requiring a one-year maximum tourist visa, maximum you can stay is 6 months, they lifted that. And now between those who want to go to China can get a 10-year multiple entry tourist visa, and Chinese people can get a 10-year multiple entry tourist visa into America. And I can tell you, the lines have exponentially lengthened. People at the embassy in New York for getting a visa to China, it used to be a short wait, now it's a really long wait. It's promoting tourism, which promotes the economy and all that. So people want to go see China, and so many Chinese people in America want to go see their relatives, and it was a big hassle. Anyway, that's contemporary. King Pachinibhari, when he heard what Narada wanted, he didn't wait. Immediately he left. Immediately he left. And he left word with his sons. Just a message. Whenever, and it was, who knows, the number of thousands of years, because they were underwater for 10,000 years. So a long time before their sons came back. As we know, when the sons came out of the water, because King Pachinibari had gone off, what happened? There's no king. And when there was no king, vegetation grew and grew and grew and grew, and everything was forested. And so the Prachetas, when they came out of the water, for whatever the duration of time it was, they saw forest everywhere. They understood there needed to be agricultural land, and so they had this mystic power whereby both wind and fire came from their mouths, and like human torches, they torched out a bunch of the forests. So much in danger was the earth planet that the presiding deity of vegetation, Soma, came and said, "Hey, Prachetas, cool it. Enough's enough. You did a good thing. Now stop, because, you know, vegetation is also needed for sustaining the lives of so many forest animals and birds and so on and so on. So, you know, okay, the land is clear. Hold it." So they did. Just upon instruction, they turned off the torches and everything was nice. And then they were awarded by a quality wife to do what their father had requested of them. So he just left, and two remaining things to speak about. Where he went to was Kapila Ashram, and Prabhupada is explaining where that is. Ganga Sagara is a famous, it's in our Vaishnav calendar, by the way. And traditionally, Vaishnavas from Bengal and Vaishnavas from Orissa, particularly, during Makara Sankranti, they go. And it's like, you know, mega millions of people. Probably dangerous. So many people trying to get in the Ganga at the same time. And right behind you is, you know, millions of people pushing you. You know how it is. So, but the place they go is Ganga Sagara. That's where the Ganga flows into the ocean, that kind of delta area. And that's called Ganga Sagara, and it's an annual festival. Makara Sankranti is the time. Other times are also good or auspicious, but especially at that time. And it's also Kapilashrama. It's the place where Lord Kapila had his ashram. Maybe you recall King Bhagiratha, who was trying to bring the Ganga down to sanctify the ashes, the burnt remnants of the bodies of his previous relatives, who had gone to Kapila Ashram trying to take his sacred cow. And when he saw them coming, he knew, he just glared at them. And there's a whole discussion in the Bhagavatam about it. Specifically, the narrator in that passage says, some people say Kapila got angry and fire came from his eyes and burned them, but that's not possible because he's in pure goodness. He's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So by their offense, their bodies burnt into ashes. Although there's paintings that show Kapila sitting in his ashram and fire coming from his eyes. Don't pay attention to those paintings. According to the Bhagavatam, anyways. Although there may be from other Puranas that say things like that. So that's where King Pachinibari went, to that sacred place, Kapila Ashram, or Ganga Sagara, to do what his sons were doing underwater, you know, engaging This is still Satya Yuga, engaging in the process of meditation and austerities for the purpose of exactly what Narada had said. Detachment from material affairs, attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead at a stage of life where it was appropriate because his sons were of age to take care of the kingdom. They just happened to be underwater for a while. And that they could look after the kingdom. So it wasn't neglect. It was to put in the form of a message. It doesn't detail how that was done. Through ministers, most likely. Here's the message for my sons when they come back. Then the last part is very interesting and very important, both. The word in the verse, text 81, is abhirakshana. So we know what that phrase, raksha. What, you know what raksha means? Protection. Rakshasha titi vishvaso. One of the items of surrender, that Krishna is my protector. Dharma rakshata, rakshataha. Famous statement that says those who protect Dharma are protected by Dharma. Raksha means protection. The abhi rakshama is a duty of a king. The duty of a king is to give protections to the citizens. And what's protection to the citizens? Well, what Prabhupada says, according to Veera Raghava Acharya, protection means organizing the citizens into the specific divisions of four varnas and ashramas. Just a few things, and we'll end with this. Consistently, Prabhupada would say, the duty of the king is to see that everyone is engaged in their prescribed duties, including that the brahmanas were engaged in their prescribed duty. He wasn't. So the brahmanas are above the kshatriyas, but the kshatriya is to see that the brahmanas are doing their duty. If the brahmanas are neglecting their duty, who's going to make sure they do their duty? It's the duty of the king to ensure that the brahmanas are doing their duty. As an example, there's I've listened to this recording many times. There's an ambassador from India who Prabhupada was speaking to in Stockholm. Nice man, you know, by the sound of his voice, well-educated, very polite, you know, good politician type. And Prabhupada was encouraging him, you're with the government, and the government should see that all religious people are doing their duties. And he said, oh, Swamiji, separation of church and state. We can't, you know, the government can't get involved in what religions do. And Prabhupada clarified. He said, it's not that you promote this one over that one. Whatever this one is, whatever that one is, or the other one is, they have their religious duties. It's the duty of the king, it's the duty of the government, the administrator, to see that they're doing their duties properly. And if they're not, if there's discrepancy, then to correct the discrepancy. It's the duty of the government. And the man was politely saying no. I mean, he was polite. He didn't directly say no. He just politely said no. Swamiji, governments can't do those things. Again, back to the point, that's an example of Prabhupada was very consistent in his writings and instructions that that's the duty of kshatriyas, is to see that all the four varnas. And second point, why? Well, according to this verse, it's protection. How is doing your duty protection? Well, if you don't do your duty, then you're unprotected. And you're unprotected, and anything can happen. And if anything can happen, often it does. Anything. Any darn thing can happen. One can do, and one was held accountable, even if one doesn't know. So there's consequence for not knowing, or ignorance, and suffering. So who's supposed to see that? Of course, the educators, the brahmanas, are to do that. They're to guide and instruct and train. Training and education, that's brahminical function. And as Vaishnavas, look closely. I've done it many times, especially when hearing from Shesha Prabhu, who's our the Ministry of Education, the Minister of Global Minister of Education. Look at the seven principles of ISKCON that Prabhupada established when he formed ISKCON Inc. And look at it in a certain lens, and you'll see everyone is education and education. They certainly say this from my experience in Mayapur, from those who are, particularly those who are educators. What's the vision for Mayapur? They say, well, it's education. Look at these seven principles and education, education. So education certainly is very important, because without education, how are people going to know what to do? Vadi Narayan Swami is very fond of quoting Abraham Lincoln or somebody, one of our, you know, U.S. presidents. One of the greatest preventions of tyranny is an educated populace. Or say it the other way around. If you want, you're going to be a tyrant, get rid of the intellectuals. And tyrants historically have done that. They find the intellectuals and they kill them. As many as possible, as widely as possible, get rid of the intellectuals. Then you can be a tyrant. But you have intellectuals, then you can have people who will speak out against tyranny. Get rid of them. Or, you know, other forms, like China to censor communication. In any case, the brahminical class is meant to educate, and the kshatriya class is meant to administrate and give protection. You know, one way is they have a sword. And if there's aggressors that come, they deal with aggressors with the sword. That's one kind of protection, but the higher kind of protection is people know what to do. And they, according to their nature, they do what they're to do according to the codes of Dharma. And then that's our social structure. And without social structure, the way the Prabhupada says, it's not possible to govern. It's definitely difficulty being a governing person in ISKCON. True confession. Very difficult. On many, many, many levels, but one of the levels pertinent to here is, if you were to do two things, people to understand what is their duty, and conversely, what's their understanding of the duty of a leader? As many persons as you interview, what is the duty of a leader? You'll get a different description of what their duty is. And they're not doing their duty, and so there's frustration. And then there's all this frustration noise. It's like an orchestration of, or orchestra of different musical instruments making, you know, I'm frustrated noise. Because there isn't clarity of, you know, in their minds, what the duty of the administrator is. And it's not just the administrator, it's, you know, the Vaishyas and the Shudras and the Brahmins. This cacophony of sound vibration of frustration. Sound familiar? So, what to do? Last part of this presentation is, one effort, I'll even give it an adjective and say an awesome effort towards this end is being put forward by Shivaram Maharaj. And those of you that did not hear the live presentation that he made, no problem. There's a recording of his presentation that he made on Tuesday morning August 18th on Varnashram. An hour and a half, and he was, you know, wasn't even close to being finished, and there was no questions because there's so much. And the first 15, 20 minutes was Varnashram in ISKCON, or Varnashram is for the people outside of ISKCON? Why Varnashram? Why even talk about it? You know that one. It's for other people, it's not for us. We're Vaishnavas. So he goes through the presentation, and I was so moved, I called him afterwards and said, you know, this Varnashram topic's been around for 15, 20 years, and I just don't pay attention to it anymore because it's just like blah, blah, and it really doesn't grab my attention. But what you did was awesome. And would you be willing to come to America and do a similar presentation? He said, thanks for the feedback, and, you know, good to be encouraged, because I know there's some people that aren't going to like what I said. You know how that is. And he said, this is just an attempt. It's not like the definitive word, but, you know. So he agreed to come, and you can note it down in your mind or your calendar. Probably Labor Day weekend 2017. Wow. No, 2016. 2016. Labor Day weekend 2016. Without the detail. And you know, he said it'll take 8 hours. I said, no problem. Have retreat in Gita Nagari, Labor Day weekend. And that can be our theme. Varnashram, and you're the main presenter, and we give you, you know, a day and a half, 2 days, whatever you want. And then other presenters, because other people have a point of view on this topic. And by that time, I'm sure whatever he presented, hopefully you can get the link and hear what he has to say. Again, it's not like the definitive word. It's thoughts in the direction of. But he's traveling all over Hungary. He's you know the kind of books he writes. He writes all these, you know, rasa books. But he's a surrendered soul. He understands Prabhupada wanted this, and we must do it, and some of the reasons why, and he's giving a lot of energy to this. And it's anyway, hats off to Shivaram Maharaj. When he does something, he really does something. So I would wish to see those ideas evolve, and thoughtful persons bring their thoughtful intelligence to the table and hear what he has to say, argue and disagree and improve, and, you know, and so on. But, you know, it's a very valuable topic for reasons indicated here. To be continued, that conversation that's been going on for 20 years with, right, Chakri? It hasn't really gone anywhere. You've read some of that or heard some of that over the years? Kind of numb to just hearing the word Varnashram and the brain turns off. Come on. So it's some very, very good ideas. And very practical, narrow objectives to achieve in the first year in Hungary. And you listen to his presentation. Any questions or comments? Any volunteers to be a GVC? Yes.
A question regarding you're saying people complain about leaders, for example, and they don't know, for example, there's not like one definite opinion about what a leader does.
Yeah.
In that class of people, but do those, like, what is the actual, what is their duty.
Who's people, there?
But people who are not leaders, for example, like, someone in our society.
Well, participate in the dialogue, not, with your six shooters out blasting away, but with, the intellectual dialogue of what is my duty, first of all, how do I understand my duty, and, become clear what the duties for your information. There is a job description or service description for a GBC and a zonal supervisor. There are certain members of our GBC that wished, due to their circumstance and their area of the world, that it not yet become a public document because this reason, that reason. So it's under wraps right now, but it's, we're operating with a sense of what our job description is. Your question, I understand your question. I'm trying to assist what is our duty, those that aren't in the leader position, to be informed that, the those who are in the leadership position are understanding a number of things, that we need to make this job description very clear, especially those who are followers of Srila Prabhupada who had direct association with him, so that the next generation doesn't have the same quandary or quagmire. It's service unto you all, the next wave of leaders in our society. So we're leaving behind an imprint that has been sifted and refined and revised. And then another piece of good news is performance evaluation and accountability systems. Music. Let me join that kirtan. So, starting with the highest levels of governance, with the view that by setting that example, it will filter down to other levels of structure. Mm-hmm. Now, I had a discussion with, I won't say the person's name, but a Prabhupada disciple that was saying, GBCs is one thing, but temple presidents, blah, 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 blah. And, if there's some temple presidents, there really shouldn't be temple presidents because blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. So, just be patient because we're working on that GBC level and then just below the GBC level, if you haven't heard the nomenclature yet, zonal supervisors to expand the governance structure so they don't have to go to these lovely meetings in Mayapur and our midterm meetings twice. You spend 2 months going to those meetings. But they can do the work of a GBC called the zonal supervisor. They have the same job description minus that one little piece. They have to go to the lovely meetings. But they have to do the governance. And then, persons in their zone within their geographic area will know what the job description is of that person. And once that culture becomes, and that they're going to be evaluated, those two pieces, then, a little light will go on that says, hey, maybe some of the rest of us should know what our job descriptions are and have performance evaluation. Just trickle down effect. And it's taking a while because, my goodness, dysfunction takes a while to get into functional. But, dysfunctional in the sense that Prabhupada didn't give all these things. He gave what he called, I've given the skeleton, now you fill in the body. So the skeletal structure is now being filled in. So that's what, be informed. Respond to your question, be informed. Participate in the discussions. For example, this Varnashram is not just, the governance people, it's the whole structure. What's our social structure? It's interesting discussion. It's stimulating discussion. It's very practical discussion. It's going to take a long time for clarity. What to speak of then, even with clarity, buy-in. Be part of the dialogue. Be responsible.
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 Yes. Because I find often when I hear people just complain and not want to do anything or even partake in, like you're saying, a responsible intellectual discussion, it doesn't make any sense to me because we're servants, you know. So I just think it's like what you're saying, it's most intelligent to be responsible and to try to help instead
Don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution.
Yeah, so I get so frustrated when I hear people complain. I'm just like,
Don't tread on me. Right? You don't know that one.
Yeah.
An American slogan. Just a little personal sharing. Something that when I hear is, when I was in China, I was hearing some of that blah, blah, blah. I said, wait a minute, you know, I want to be patient and have you feel that you've been heard, but let me just, you know, when I was a teenager, I understood something. Any two-bit teenager, just give them the chance, and they can tell you all the things that are wrong. Complain, analyze, criticize, till the cows come home. But where's that person, teenager or otherwise, that can make it better? What's the solution? I want that association. So, let me tell you, my dear friend so-and-so Prabhu, would you like to be part of the solution? Here's some ways. Well, I can't go to my GBC because blah, blah, blah. Okay. I'll go to your GBC and say, you know, this person can be part of the solution. And I've informed their GBC, and when they go to that place, they're going to, you know, invite them to be part of the solution. Here's two, three things. Be part of the solution. Not like, or shut up, but just, you know, be this positive. Be part of the solution. And those persons that are responsible, they'll be part of the solution. One of the best ways, this is just a practical adage, one of the best ways to displace dysfunctionality is promote functionality. Just make functionality, you know, prominent. Turn on the light and darkness goes. The persons that want to stay in darkness, they can stay in darkness. We're going to go to light. Tamasima Jyotir Gama. Back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada saw the darkness and how to do this. Then with faith in the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, reiterating them, specifically the verses, having faith in the principles of Bhagavatam to make the light come on in this place of darkness. So let those persons that understand, I want to be part of the solution, be part of the solution and make the situation improve. It's 8:51. Take a couple more questions. Looking over here, Sri.
Question about Varnashrama.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that Varnashrama is primarily based on an agrarian, you know, housing section society. So my doubt always has been is, you know, we're a preaching movement. So
yeah.
You know, like the time we get Echo Valley.
Listen very carefully, several times, to that presentation. And that's, you know, one of the notions that he addresses. Yes, Varnashram can be, but, you know, this isn't agricultural communities. This is a king giving protection to the citizens. So, and the preaching movement can certainly also, depending upon one's qualities, listen carefully. The answer is given. One of the highlights is he refers to a verse where, seventh canto, there's 30 qualities, maybe it's 11th canto, 30 qualities of a human being. So he has this exercise, part of the 8-hour thing, he said to me afterwards, he explained it in the presentation too. He takes people through a very simple exercise where they, you know, their peer, self-evaluation, peer evaluation, and so forth. Of these 30 qualities, which ones are strong and weak within my character, and that's going to identify one's varna. So some persons, that just is like, that's just the social structure. It doesn't take away the preaching. It doesn't take away the preaching. He's teaching this not only in, you know, Nuvrajadam. It's, you know, in Budapest and wherever they have centers, which is generally in urban areas except for Nuvrajadam. Something like 30 centers. Of course, big ones and medium ones and small ones. But he, you know, so it's everybody. It's not everybody go to the farm and have varnashram. Kijai. Everyone. It's a social structure. Social organization. He has a lot to say about this. We're not just, you know, the difference between we're another religion and Krishna consciousness is we're offering a social structure. The religions just give their views on God and, you know, divinity. And then so there's different religions. This is far more than that. And it's in the pages of the Bhagavatam, which is teaching, you know, love of God. And the preaching of the message, expanding of the message. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's primary reference, or, you know, they're non-different. So, it's not separate from the preaching mission. Listen. And I'll provide you with the PowerPoint presentation. I'll give it to your husband because he's going to give me something and I'm going to give him something. And then you can have the thing and go through the thing. Listen, because there's some slides that he didn't get to cover because he ran out of time. They're very thoughtful. It's not like the answer. It's a perspective, work in progress. But he's not, you know, waiting for perfection. He's developing. Next. I always have more than one question.
Two questions. In relation to what you were speaking, the Amish seem to have, you know, very religious as well as well-established socio-economic.
Yes. They certainly have a social structure and they have a view of economy. But they don't have the Yukta Vairagya principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. So, it's okay. Their social structure is fantastic. They don't have attrition of members. Even in their modern society. Some, you know, but it's surprisingly very modest because people are satisfied. So we need social structure that makes sense. You know, it's Krishna gave it kind of social structure. It'll help. People will know their place within the preaching mission. Maybe on the farm. Maybe in the city. Maybe in the suburbs. Maybe a Krishna house. Second question?
Guruji, you were speaking about how Pachyubari immediately carried out Narada's instructions to the third.
He was qualified. Yes. We're not always so qualified.
So that was the question was,
I know.
Becoming qualified for service.
He was qualified. So we, you know, Prabhupada describes like the first volume of Lilamrita, a lifetime of preparation. He was preparing himself. He was very clear about the objective and he was preparing himself. He didn't not remember or he didn't forget the objective. He just didn't feel qualified. Even when he was in Vrindavan, even when he was a sannyasi getting ready to leave, and there's this wonderful description of praying and chanting at the place of Bhakti Vinod Thakur for empowerment to carry out what he considered was, I don't have the qualification for. So preparing is fine. He was qualified. Off he went. Right?
Yes. So, Maharaj, how are we to understand, you know, that people that when Prabhupada lamented not having carried out?
He's humble. He was under Krishna's direction. He's not like us. We got 1 foot in two boats, and one of them heavier in one side than the other side. Okay. Yes.
Why does the quality of Prachini Bhari exhibited in this verse is fantastic? And
yes.
The question is, for persons who struggle with hesitation.
Do you know anybody like that?
Multiple. So how does one, you know, go beyond that?
Practice and patience. Make commitments that are manageable and doable and see the result, and then make the next commitment. And so incremental progress towards, you know, a deeper standard. That's my approach. And, you know, and encouragement to others. And the reciprocation that comes from Krishna is the main impetus to go that, you know, the next commitment level. Is that all right? You got it.
I have to rehear that.
Huh?
I have to rehear what you have to say. I mean, there's
this on commitment little statement that's on my door and a big poster and calligraphy presentation about commitment. And when you hesitate, not only opportunities are lost, but opportunities that you don't even see, because you're not committed, don't happen. But when commitment is there, then opportunities, doors open, and things start to move, and reciprocation comes. So don't hesitate. That's, you know, that's Gupta's advice. It's, you know, it's our... Now there's a difference between hesitating and preparing. Qualifying oneself. Then you're taking steps towards light. You're not just like frozen. What if? Okay, we'll end. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki Jai.